Actually, it's over 400 pages, including a heavily sourced reference section that you will definitely need when you're talking about these issues to other people and trying to help other people understand. This book and 2 one-hour tapes of the interview with Jim are available to you as our premium today at Sunrise for $150. You will get the tapes, 2 tapes, and the book, which is over 400 pages and heavily sourced, Rule by Secrecy. You can get the book alone for $100. You could also get the tapes alone for $100, but that's not what I'm encouraging. I'm encouraging you to get both. You need both. You need to read the book and then hear what Jim says about what's in the book. And you'll need to hear it more than once. 212-209-2950. Again, that number, 212-209-2950. Will you join the 2 callers on the line and get this package into your hands before you leave for the office this morning? It is 7:01, but take the time to jot down the number. If you're running out to work, you can take the number with you and call us when you get there. 212-209-2950. I want to get back to the tape because I want to bring you more information. He was just getting ready to go on about the involvement of the Rockefellers. That's quite a lengthy piece, and I think you want to hear it. You want to hear it because you need to know how things run, and I think Jim brings that out better than anything that I know of. And when he talks about these secret societies, he's not in awe of them. He's trying to help us understand where the power is coming from so that when we're organizing, even at our community level, we understand what we're dealing with. It's very important to know what you're dealing with. 212-209-2950 is the number. Use your credit card, please, American Express, Master, or Visa. We take either. However, there are some people, and there are many listeners, who can't afford the $150 package in one lump sum. Then let the person answering the phone know that and work out an installment arrangement, 3 or 4 payments at a time. But do get this package. Do become a member of this station. Do continue to listen to 99.5 FM. We are right in the middle of the FM dial. We are an extremely important station at this time in our history. We are the only game in town, and Jim goes on in the tape to talk about how difficult it is to get his work published, first of all. And then once it's published, even though it's selling so well, they will list it in the New York Times bestseller list, but the New York Times will not review it, and neither has any other major media. So that should tell you something right there. So you're getting something that we would almost call an underground bestseller. I guess that's the name they attach to these kinds of books. You get the book, over 400 pages, very detailed about how these secret societies work, and you get the 2 one-hour tapes. Let me give you some of the chapter titles in the book so you know what you're getting. A Question of Conspiracy. Jim, in that, describes how he defines a conspiracy. Then Rule by the Few, and A View from the Few. He tells us what they're thinking, why they're thinking it, what they're thinking their goals are. Then he goes into Modern Secret Societies, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and then where we left off, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, and the Rothschilds, and their involvement in so much of our culture. And then he talks about the secrets of money and the Federal Reserve System. And I got a lot out of that one myself. You'll hear me on the tape in the interview waking up to some point that he made, something very clear that will help me when I'm reading the headlines. As I said, I'm not as sophisticated. Some people just watch these things every day and trends. And so I'm not one of those people. I go to tenants' meetings and, you know, I help in the food pantry. I raise my child and participate at that level as much as I can. But there are people out there in our listenership who actually follow these things and understand what Jim is saying. I'm a person that has to ask very simple questions to get very simple explanations and work my way up into maybe a major understanding. But I don't start off that way, and I think you'll hear it in the tape. But there are a lot of you like me out there. You want to know, you kind of want to know, and you don't want to know. It's like that. Jim explains it in a way that you can understand it in this book, and he documents what he says. He goes on in the book to talk about the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the round tables, he calls them. And then the Skull and Bones, which is up at Yale University, a secret organization, and how that works. And he really gets into detail about a lot of these things. So call 212-209-2950 before you leave today. I urge you to get the book, Rule by Secrecy, and Jim Marr spells his name with two R's, and the two tapes, 2 1-hour tapes, 212-209-2950. We want you to have this in your hands. You can get the tape and your membership for $100, or you can get the book and your membership for $100. 212-209-2950. All right, we want you to hear a little more of what Jim is saying. And this stuff, you know, if it could be scary if he didn't present it in such a down-to-earth way. He really does. And we're going to make it available to you. 212-209-2950. If I can get a few more calls, I'm going to go right back to the tape. Use your MasterCard, Visa card, American Express card. Continue to call our pledge line. There are volunteers in there. Thank you for those two calls. We could use a flurry right now. Don't think about it. Just do it. I promise you, you will not be sorry. This is information that is so secretive and so valuable and important for us to know about. And in fact, I want to share this with my older children. I want them to understand when they're out in the business world what they're dealing with. Very important. 212-209-2900. All right, we're going to go back to the tape, hear a little more of Jim, and then I'll join you again. And hopefully you all are being inspired by this news, not depressed, but inspired to know in a more comprehensive way how to do your own organizing work to improve your community and your life and the planet. Here we go.
Essentially set up the banking systems as we now know it in Europe, starting back in the mid-1700s, and it was really ironic in that, according to all the biographies, Meyer Rothschild got his start by embezzling money from the Prince of Hesse, and the money came from the came from Britain, where they were hiring the Hessian soldiers to come to the United States to fight us, the colonists, you know, and so, and that was the, of course, the Hessians that we fought during the Revolutionary War. And the money that Britain paid to the Prince of Hesse was embezzled by Meyer Rothschild, who took it and installed his son in a powerful position in England when he eventually gained control over the Bank of England. So this all goes all the way back. In the case of the Morgans, Morgan, J.P. Morgan's father, actually was in England working for Nathan Rothschild. So he was a Rothschild employee. And then his son comes over here and creates one of the biggest trusts and the biggest companies in America, J.P. Morgan, which is still with us today, which is still a gigantic financial institution. Now, the thing that threw a lot of people off and threw me off for a long time was the Rockefellers, because old John D. Rockefeller, whose father was a patent medicine salesman, okay, selling cures for cancer, he got his start way out in Ohio, okay? And, you know, and he seemed to be the epitome of the American success story. You know, poor boy makes good. Because by the 1890s, John D. Rockefeller controlled almost 90% or more of the petroleum production on this planet. And then in the early, right after the turn of the century, when after some good journalism work by Ida Tarbell and a lot of other people, the Supreme Court finally judged them to be a monopoly and broke them up. And it was kind of an early edition of what's happening with Bill Gates and Microsoft right now today. And what it was that John D. had gotten a monopoly over this new technology, just like Bill Gates did, and the old boys, they wanted their piece of it. So when they broke up Standard Oil, they broke it into 33 different corporations. Well, now John D. Rockefeller, instead of owning controlling interest in one corporation, he had controlling interest in 33 corporations, and before very long, he became the United States' first billionaire. And I'm sure that Bill Gates will not be hurting either when all this is finally settled. It's simply a case of the big guys want their finger in the money pie too. Okay? But now what's interesting is that, and what I found out was that John D. Rockefeller got his start by money that was loaned to him through the Bank of Cleveland, which was a Rothschild bank. So it seems like that all these people operating over in this country, a good many of them, and particularly in the highest financial circles, are actually operating on behalf of this European banking dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this may be a proper point, too, to interject this. The Rothschilds practice Judaism, so they legitimately can be called Jewish. The Rockefellers don't claim to be Jewish, and that throws people off, too. But you have to understand that when you start talking in these terms, there are three things to consider. There's race, there's religion, and there's politics. Now, when it comes to race, you have the Hebrew race, which is a Semite race. And obviously, we all know that it's not right to discriminate against somebody because of their race, because that's the way you're born. You're born into your race. You have, the child has no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then there's the religion, Judaism. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sammy Davis Jr. converted to Judaism, but he obviously wasn't a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that, and I, at least in my case, I think that everybody's religion is a personal matter. Whatever you choose to believe, that's what you believe, and I think that we all should understand that the proper thing to do is we all honor each other for our right to freedom of religion. That's part of what this country was founded on. But now you have the political aspect, which is Zionism. And the Rothschilds have been very, very heavily involved in Zionism, and that is the creation and the protection of the State of Israel. Okay, now when it comes to politics, that is something that can be argued. And yet there are groups usually connected to these same people who over the years have tried to tar anybody who wants to disagree with the policies of Israel with this black tar brush of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, excuse me, I've been to Israel and there's plenty of people who are Jewish who are living in Israel today who do not agree with some of the official policies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get branded mm-hmm. anti-Semite because politics is something that we can argue about.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I want to say
you can separate the politics from the spiritual aspects of Judaism.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You can't discriminate against somebody because of their race. You can't discriminate against somebody because of their religious beliefs, but you can argue with people over their politics. But they have used this as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very effective, especially since World War II. Anybody that tries to argue with the politics of Israel is automatically branded an anti-Semite, and that's simply not always the case.
Has that been true of you?
No, I don't think so, because...
No, I mean, have you been brushed with that?
Oh, probably at some point. I don't pay much attention to that because I have too many Jewish friends,
mm-hmm.
and I have I've grown up... Well, when I was in school and brought up here in Texas, you know, I was grown before I came to realize that a Jewish person, you know, there was something more there than just somebody who went to a different church.
Right.
That's the way I was brought up. It's like, well, the Catholics go here, and I was brought up in the Baptist church, and the
uh-huh.
Jews go over to synagogue, and they just go to a different church. But other than that, they were just like me, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was only later in life that I began to realize, and of course you have to come to some of the big Eastern population centers like New York and Chicago, where they have, you know, Jewish neighborhoods and communities and stuff, before you really begin to see that in certain places, you know, there are these
mm-hmm.
these sections
yes.
and these communities.
You know, people...
I never was brought up like that. I just thought everybody was everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, there are an inordinate number of Jewish people
mm-hmm.
who are members and who are working within these secret societies, but the idea that it's all some Jewish conspiracy is just a bunch of hokum.
Okay.
It's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they have used this race and this religious thing very effectively to keep everybody fighting with each other so that nobody looks up and notices who's really running the show.
Mm-hmm.
They've done this because before, first it was back in the 1800s and through the early 1900s and up till the time of World War II, when people could see the footprints of conspiracy on the world stage, it was, well, it's the international Jewish conspiracy.
Yes.
Well, then when that finally got... People finally got wise and realized that really wasn't the case. By that time, we were into, well, it's the international communist conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And now they're trying to get us to the international terrorist conspiracy. And a terrorist, kind of like a communist, it's like, well, who are those people? And you never can quite put your finger on it, you know? Is Castro a communist? Was Khrushchev a communist? How about Lenin or Stalin or Pol Pot or Ho Chi Minh, you know?
Yeah.
They all had different agendas and different outlooks and everything else, but yet they were tarred with this whole thing about, well, they're all just communists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And today, so actually I came to understand during the Cold War that a communist basically was anybody who disagreed with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way it is today.
Right.
You know, that's what they're trying to build up now about these terrorists. You know,
right.
Anybody who disagrees with you must be a narco-terrorist.
Right. You know, I also think there was reference to you being related to Texmar.
Oh, yes, Texmar is as an evangelistic company or organization that operates out of Austin, Texas. And
right.
It is kind of interesting that we both kind of have the same last name and that we're both interested in the New World Order. But and I have talked to Texmars on a couple occasions, but to the best of our knowledge, there is no relation.
Did I hear you say that Hitler borrowed money from Ford?
No. He didn't borrow money from Ford, but he borrowed ideas from Henry Ford.
Ideas from him.
What I write in Rule by Secrecy, and it was really amazing when I read this, was that if there was somebody who could properly be called an anti-Semite, it might have been Henry Ford, you know, this icon of the American automobile industry. Because in 1921, Henry Ford wrote a book called The International Jew, and he was one of those who was caught up. He could tell that there was manipulation going on a global basis and that there was this fingerprints of conspiracy, and he was caught up in the tenure of the Times, which said, oh, it's probably an international Jewish conspiracy, which, of course, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote this book, The International Jew, and he was blasting this international Jewish financiers. And Hitler, Adolf Hitler, took liberally from his book and put it into his own book, Mein Kampf, and used that as the basis for a lot of his anti-Jewish rhetoric. And what's really fascinating is both of these men started off saying that they really weren't that against the Jews in general. They were just against, well, like Hitler referred to it as the tyranny of interest. In other words, bankers, financiers who loan money at interest and set up things in such a way that they can control everything through this monetary power. But then, of course, in both cases, their initial complaint against the banking dynasties got expanded to just include everybody, you know, which again is certainly not right. And it was, and I agree with these people who say that World War II was probably a war that was necessary. It was certainly good that we stopped that kind of militarism, both in Germany and in Japan. However, if you go back and look, you find that there were business connections that brought all of that about. And again, like every other war of the last few centuries, it was all based on money. The Persian Gulf War, that was all about oil and money. The Vietnam, it was about the material resources of South Vietnam, which has to do with money. Korea, you know, again, that was one that was not so much about money, but was about seeing if the American people would sit still for their tax money going to support a U.S. military that was used as a United Nations peacekeeping force in a foreign war. And, yes, we did. So we got Vietnam. And that one, Vietnam, was clearly the work of the secret societies, because right after World War II, the publications of the Council on Foreign Relations made it very clear that the United States should have control over the resources of Southeast Asia. Of course, this comes back also to the secret accords of Yalta in February of 1945. Where Stalin demanded that after the war, Russia be able to control Eastern Europe, because his argument was, we've been attacked three times now in the past 100 years by the West, twice by Napoleon, once by Hitler, and all of these after we've signed non-aggression pacts. So we're not going to let that happen again. Next time you attack us, you're going to have to come through Poland and Hungary and Czechoslovakia, and that way maybe we'll have a chance to defend ourselves. And so Russia was given and granted their sphere of influence is Eastern Europe. And I was told as a young man that, oh, those nasty communists, they seized Eastern Europe and wouldn't give it back. Well, that was not the case. It was given to them. And that's why we didn't go help the Hungarians in 56, and that's why we didn't go help the Czechs in 78, and that's why we didn't go help the Poles, because it was a deal that was cut with these secret society people. Now, Britain at Yalta got the Middle East, but they weren't able to hold on to it. Okay, and the State of Israel was created, and President Nasser of Egypt in the early 50s sank ships in the Suez Canal and said, Britain, get out of here or you'll never use the Suez Canal again, which was their lifeline to the east. So they pulled out. But what about America? What were we given as our sphere of influence after the war? We were given South Pacific and Southeast Asia. And that was one of the reasons that Charles de Gaulle was so mad at us. He said, this is like Munich, where they carved up Czechoslovakia, and they weren't even there to discuss it. You're giving away French territory, and we're not even there. Mm-hmm. So he immediately rushed French troops back to what was then called French Indochina. But in 1954, in the spring, Ho Chi Minh, who had been a U.S. agent, agent, and had been supplied and armed by and trained by the United States, and who as far back as Ho Chi Minh was at the Versailles Peace Treaty at the end of World War One, and hobnobbed with all of these secret society people. And he threw the French out in 1954. And right after that, John Foster Dulles, who was Secretary of State of Dwight Eisenhower, created CETO, the Southeast Asian Treaty Organization, and he said later he only did that to give the United States president a legal precedent for intervention in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. So, and John Foster Dulles was one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations. So, see, he was furthering their stated agenda of having control over Southeast Asia. So they were planning and setting up the Vietnam War long before any of us in this country had even heard the name of the place.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Let me add one more thing about Vietnam to show you the interconnected of all of this. At the height of Vietnam, with Lyndon Johnson as president, he was surrounded by what he referred to as his wise men. And his wise men, his top advisors, were to a man members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Okay? And what were they encouraging to do in addition to fighting the war in Vietnam? They encouraged him to loan more money to Russia than we had during World War II when they were our allies. So we have the spectacle of U.S. tax dollars supporting loans to Russia. They use it to build facilities like the Khmer River Truck Factory, where they crank out war materials, send that to North Vietnam, and who uses it to kill our boys and girls in Vietnam. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Mm-mm. No.
Only to these people in the secret societies who are arming and encouraging both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the pattern that I have found going all the way back even into the war between the states.
Mm-hmm. Jim, all of these things are connected to power and money.
Exactly.
And maybe we don't understand, enough of us maybe don't understand, I include myself in that, enough about money, what it means. And when I was in school, we did learn about the Federal Reserve.
Right.
But that's all we learned.
Now, if you want to talk about a conspiracy, that's a conspiracy. Even one of the founders of the Federal Reserve said when we sneaked off and held secret meetings and planned to set up this Federal Reserve system, I felt like a conspirator. Well, that's because he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me explain one little there. In my book, Rule by Secrecy, I have a little section about the secrets of money. And we all need to understand the secrets of money. But here's one thing that I hope everybody will understand, because it will help you to interpret the news headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We see stuff like the bombing of Kosovo, and we're just going, what is that all about? You know, why are we doing this?
It's
and we keep shooting these cruise missiles at Saddam Hussein, you know, even though we don't ever seem to really hit anything. You know, we were just killing a bunch of people over there, and what's that all about? Okay, it's this simple. Marjorie, if you take $50 and you go and deposit it in a checking account at a bank, that's $50 they didn't have before you came in the door, so that's an asset to that bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't keep it there, do they? They loan it out to Joe.
Right.
All right, so now it's out the door again as a loan, so now it's a debit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's both an asset and a debit. Well, that doesn't make sense. That negates each other. So in other words, your $50 is essentially meaningless. Okay? But when Joe pays back the $50 and he pays back interest, he pays back $55.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, when you go to get your money out of the bank, do you get $55?
Nope.
No, you only get your $50 that you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And who gets the $5? The bank.
Hmm.
Okay, so the bank has made a profit on doing, creating nothing. They shuffle some papers, and that was it. And they've made $5.
Hmm.
So now that is one of the secrets of money. Profit to bankers and financiers, interest.
Mm-hmm.
Interest to bankers and financiers equals profit. Okay?
Hmm.
So the more debt there is, the more profit they make. Now do you begin to see why we're trillions of dollars in debt?
Yes, because it's profit.
Because it's profitable to them. Same thing with Kosovo. Instead of trying to sit down and talk everything out, we just go bomb the heck out of them and cause $555 million worth of damage.
Mm.
Now somebody's got to borrow that money to rebuild over there, right?
Right.
And somebody's going to loan that money, and whoever loans that money is going to make interest off of it.
Profit.
So all of that was profitable.
I see.
These banks.
Mm-hmm. And what you mentioned in your book, something called fractional banking.
Right.
What is that?
Well, that simply means that you don't have to keep all the money that you have deposited in your bank in your bank. You only have to keep a fraction of it.
Okay.
And it's like 10% maybe. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got $100 million, you only have to keep $10 million in your bank, and you can loan out the rest for interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that, see, this creates a whole big pile of money that there's really nothing backing it up.
I see. Do you, Jim, do you find it, what is the meaning behind us moving toward a moneyless society?
Well,
Because
money, see, you got to go back and understand that originally money had a real legitimate purpose. And that was, if you were, say, a sheep herder, and you wanted to sell some of your sheep, you could go to market, sell it, write out a piece of paper and say, okay, I'm paying you 14 sheep, all right? And you could do that, and that piece of paper acted as money. And that way you didn't have to cut out the 14 sheep and drive them into town every time you wanted to buy some groceries or conduct business. Or if you're going on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a whole lot better to carry a promissory note or a note that was good for, in exchange for goods or services, than to carry big bags of gold coins with you, which would be a temptation for robbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a substitution for goods or services. And in that respect, that's how money came into being. But the goldsmiths, who were the original bankers, began to realize that everybody didn't come and ask for their gold back at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they found out they could take some of that gold that they were holding for various people and loan it to other people at interest. And it made them profit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the only thing they had to worry about was if everybody came and asked for their gold back at the same time, which rarely ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And today we call it a run on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so all the way up until Franklin Roosevelt's time, our money carried on it, if you go back and look at old bills, it'll say Federal Reserve note payable to the bearer upon demand in gold or silver.
Mm-hmm.
So it represented tangible assets. And the good thing about this is that set a limit to the money. There was only so much gold and silver, and so there was only so much money. Now, that was like the Depression of the 30s was a monetary depression. The money was still good. If you had money during the 30s, you could buy anything you wanted to.
Right.
In fact, that's where a lot of people who had money back in the 30s, that's where they made millions, because they were able to buy businesses and land and everything else dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a monetary depression. The money was good, but most people didn't have any
right.
because it was a limited money supply. Now, what they don't realize is that today we're in an inflationary depression. During the 80s and through the 90s, mm-hmm. we've had more banks fail than failed during the 30s and in the Depression. We've had stock market crashes, just like in 87. They were just about as bad as the stock market crash in 29. And yet nobody seems to have realized that we're in that kind of situation because we're in an inflationary depression, which means there's plenty of money in circulation, and every year we get a little bit of a raise and we get a little more money, mm-hmm. but it's worth less and less.
I see.
Think what it costs to go to a movie today versus what it cost to go to a movie 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's an inflationary depression. And if you adjust for that inflation, you find out that we're really not all that better off. The polls will go out and say, do you think you're better off today than you were 20 years ago? And the average Joe will think, well, let's see, today I'm making $30,000 a year, and 20 years ago I was making $15,000 a year. Oh, yeah, I'm better off.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stop to think that it cost them $32,000 a year today just to live.
Right, right. And so I guess what I'm surmising, and I hope correctly, so that if there's great debt there to a certain class of people,
that's
great
profit. That's great profit.
And if
that's
we
right.
keep that in mind,
and that's why we're this whole country right now is awash in mm-hmm. debt. When I was in college, you couldn't get a credit card.
Right.
Not because I didn't have any because my credit was bad, but simply because I didn't have any credit.
Right. Right.
Today, I'm having to cut up and throw away credit cards that they're sending through the mail, in bulk to my college daughter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, here. And, for example, she was telling me of a friend who is not even yet graduated from college, and thanks to bank cards and student loans, already owes $26,000.
Yeah.
Now think about that, Marjorie. Mm-hmm. What is this person? What is her future?
Yeah.
She's got to get out of college with her degree. She's got to grab the first job she can find and stick with it because she's got to make those payments every month.
Wow.
Now that is mm-hmm. that is the tyranny of interest.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a shell game.
Yes, it is.
What it sounds like.
Yes, it is. And if you don't understand it, then you're just out in the dark.
So it behooves us to cut up those credit cards except for one, maybe.
Or that's right.
Not buy those big cars, gas guzzlers, and so on.
That's
okay.
Right. Pass on that. And instead of trying to build, instead of trying to finance a 30-year mortgage on a whole big, huge new house, take stock of where you are. If you like the neighborhood and you like where you are, plow a little money and just start fixing up your place till it's like the way you like it.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you'll be out of debt.
Yes. All right.
I've never had any money, and yet I figured this out a long time ago, and my wife is a school teacher, and we just started working about 25 years ago, and by the time I reached my mid-40s,
mm-hmm.
I had 25 acres and a home paid for.
Oh, boy, yeah.
That was tough. It was tough. Yeah. We were making $1,000 a month payments back in the 80s, and that was a lot of money back then.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And we didn't get to run to the movies every night, and we didn't get to go out and eat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get to go take vacation trips to Cancun and places like that,
right.
Okay?
Right.
But by the time I'm 46, we got our place, and it's paid for, and under the Texas homestead laws, even if I go total belly up, they cannot come and take my home.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's the way that young people are going to have to start understanding that they've got to work
mm-hmm.
and save and plan if they want to have a future.
All right. Let me just remind.
I've got to add one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was Thomas Jefferson, who is still on my hero list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who he had affairs with.
mm-hmm. Or maybe because of who he had affairs with.
Yeah, or maybe because he did. Hey,
yeah.
You know?
All right.
Yeah, probably had enough love to go around. He once wrote,
mm-hmm.
he said that if we ever allow bankers to gain control over our money supply, that their ancestors, meaning us, mm-hmm. would wake up without property in the country that they founded.
Mm-hmm.
And, I drive through Dallas and Fort Worth and other big cities, and I see all these rows and rows of apartments and condominiums that people are buying on, and they got mortgages for 30 years and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly realize that's what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. These people don't own anything.
Yes.
They're just paying.
Yeah.
And particularly if you're paying rent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, this is good practical advice for young people. And
well, they need to understand all this. Now, some I realize this isn't for everybody.
Right.
And I realize that there are some people who it would be just tickled to death to spend their whole life in a big city in a little rented apartment and be able to run down the elevator and go down to the corner grocery and get enough groceries for that day and come on back and then go to their job. And they love that lifestyle. And hey, fine.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm saying there are plenty of others who say, why am I stuck in all of this?
Right, the options.
Right. They need the option.
Let me just remind people who we're talking to. We're talking to Jim Mars, and he is the author of Rule by Secrecy. And it's the hidden history that connects the Trilateral Commission, the Freemasons, and the Great Pyramids. And we're going to continue with this. Now, Jim, can we talk about Cecil Rhodes? Or Rhodes. You say Cecil Rhodes.
Right.
You say in your book he is the progenitor of the modern secret societies.
Well, he put up the money. All right, let me track it right back to that point. We've got the trilateral.
All right, were you listening? I was listening. And there's more where that came from. I hope I didn't seem too naive when Jim spoke about the money, but when he put it together that debt means profit to those that control and own everything. That made it easier for me to think about reading the headlines. I hope it made it easier for you, too. And it's when he did that, it seemed like something I wanted to go home and show my daughter. Why debt equals profit, and why we should stay out of debt if we can, or pay it off. And these credit cards are almost an evil for so many people, although there are uses for them. But for a lot of people, there needs to be a lot of control. All right, this is Marjorie Moore. We were listening to Jim Mars, author of Rule by Secrecy, and we're just getting into now Jim's explanation of the secret societies and how they function. And we're also going to talk about Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation and what that meant or didn't mean, the way we learned it in history, and many, many other things. He really lays out how these secret societies function, how they train and educate the people as much as he can know, because they're secrets, right? So please stay tuned. We are making available for you today 2 one-hour tapes of Jim. We're only playing snippets now of the interview, but the 2 one-hour tapes plus the book will be available for you for $150. And that includes your membership in WBAI, or it could be a renewal or an additional gift. Let the volunteer who answers the phone know. The book you can and your membership for $100 is another way to get it, or the tapes, the 2 one-hour tapes for $100 would also include your membership here. We also have a membership at $25 if you're on a low income or a fixed income, or you can just make a donation to the station. Let me tell you something, folks. Jim couldn't get this book reviewed in the major media. They don't want to hear what he's talking about right now. He needed to come to WBAI, and God forbid we weren't here. That's the way I think about it. You wake up one morning, and you turn down to 99.5 FM, and there's no sound, nothing. We're not here. Well, that's not a pleasant thought for me, especially after talking to people like Jim and getting this information out. We have so many issues to sort through that I think it's a really good idea for those of us who don't have all the answers yet politically to begin to open our minds and our hearts and hear all sides of the story. You know, I'm convinced that everyone's trying to manipulate us, the right, the left, the middle, the purple, the green. You know, everybody wants control and domination. It seems to be part of the human condition. I'm not having it. So if I don't want to have it, then what do I have to do? I have to educate myself. I have to be alert. I have to be highly intuitive so that I can function in this society in a good way, not harming my brothers and sisters, taking care of the environment that the Creator bestowed upon us, and so forth. And if you want to be part of that kind of a legacy for your children, you need to get this information into your heads, in your hands, and your friends and neighbors and your family, and especially your children. They have so much to contend with growing up in this world. Why not let them know the truth about it all? Rule by Secrecy is the book. It's over 400 pages long. It's not a quack job. It's a real journalistic effort, heavily resourced, so that you can check the facts yourself and read more on different topics as if they interest you. And we're making the book and the two tapes, 2 one-hour tapes, with this incredible interview with this man explaining to us how the system works. Isn't that what we need to know so that we can target our efforts at the right things, not the wrong things? Targeting is very important. Are we targeting each other for extinction? Or are we targeting a system that doesn't work, or exposing influence and power that works behind the scenes to keep everybody fighting each other? So what's it going to be? Are we going to educate ourselves to understand what that influence is? I hope so. I think it's our only salvation. We're offering the book and 2 one-hour tapes with an interview between Jim Mars and myself. He dispels a lot of the myths about secret societies and brings it up front so you can deal with it. And it is there to be dealt with. Most people who have jobs work for corporations. Somebody is pulling the strings. How do we do that and keep our planet healthy environmentally and keep our families together and not lose our apartments because some deal is made by a group of people who remain unidentified? I mean, we're talking in New York City right now about rent stabilization laws, and we know we have a rent stabilization board. I see a connection. I know that board is not what's pulling the strings. There's something going on behind the scenes. Who are those people that own the land in New York City, own our buildings? We need to know who they are. We need to target those people. What you see out front isn't always what you get, and Jim breaks that down for us. Rule by secrecy, I don't see any calls right now, and I'd love to see maybe 4 calls, including commitment calls to the station, to the progress of the station. We reach out to Long Island and Connecticut, and New Jersey has been in the house, has done a great job. We even have new listeners who are calling in, who are flipping by and stop and hear on 99.5 FM in New York City. They hear the stories they're not going to hear on any other radio station, and we need to be here to bring them to you. Let's get a few people calling. Will 2 people start calling? Start the ball rolling. I need to know you're there. Thank you for that call. I need to know you're there. And that other call, thank you for that call. I mean, it's no time to lay back and wait. I feel it's urgent. It's urgent for a lot of reasons. It's urgent because of what's going on here at the station. It's urgent because of what's going on in our schools, in our communities around housing and gentrification issues. I think it all goes right back to rule by secrecy. The people who control the land, who control the water, control the air, and so on. Media is controlled. We have to know who these people are and how those systems function. And I think it's important not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So you may hear some things here that you don't agree with, but you're going to hear a lot here that you do agree with and that will help you sort through so much information and separate fact from fantasy. The number, thank you for all these calls. You need to call at 743. I'd love for you to all call before you go to work. 212-209-2950 is the number. What's the number? 212-209-2950. We take Master Visa and American Express. We'll take those cards. We'll take a check, a money order. We'll do it on an installment plan. Whatever it takes, we need you to call up and tell the volunteer who answers the phone, and then do it. Don't put it off any longer. Keep this station alive. Make a commitment to this kind of programming. You want all sides of the story, not just to be stuck in your own belief system. It's time to burst those open. Get open. Open up a little. Let some air in. Rethink some things. Call 212-209-2950 so I can get back to the tape. Thank you for those calls. We've got 3 callers on the line. Can we just light up another 5? Can we get another 5 callers so that I can get back to the tape? Please, I want to bring as much of Jim Mars to you as I can this morning until 10 o'clock at 7:44. My name is Marjorie Moore. I'm here at WBAI every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m., waking you up. I'm working very hard to bring you important things to think about. I'm not so interested that you have your mind made up already, but just things to think about, to see where we can go with new ideas and creative solutions brought to bear on our social problems, on all problems. Thank you for all of these calls. We're getting a flurry. Each of you who are becoming listeners, who are getting this package into your hands, again, another great package for those who are graduating and heading on to college, graduating from high school. This would be a great package. 2 one-hour tapes with an interview by the author, Jim Mars, who maybe will keep our children out of debt when they hear debt equals profit to some people who are in control. And once we realize that, it becomes much easier to maybe just have one credit card instead of 10 and to begin paying off those debts. Jim does a little thing about the importance of keeping your word, your integrity, and he tells us why that's important in this corrupt environment where we are controlled by secret groups and meetings and individuals who have an agenda. And when I ask him right out, what is that agenda? The agenda is not only to control the social policy and the money, it's to actually control your heart and soul, folks. That's what we're talking about here. Control of our very thought process. Can you imagine doing studies to figure out where the genius in a writer comes from? I mean, they want to replicate genius. I mean, how? Imagine that means controlling the non-material. That's actually, they're after the very heart of you, the very soul of you, and we're not going to let that happen. Please call 212-209-2950 and take this very seriously. We're offering you the book, Rule by Secrecy, by Jim Mars. It's over 400 pages long, and a quarter of it is documentation about the information, where he got it from, and then you can follow up on things and do further study. We're offering that book with the 2 one-hour tapes we're making available to you. 212-209-2950 is the number. It is 7:46. Lots of you have to leave for work. Before you go, won't you make a statement and join this station? Thank you for that call. Won't you join WBAI and help us stay alive and, more than alive, healthily alive? That's right. We've got phones to take care of and bring up to date and to fix and repair. Our light bill alone, our electric bill must be enormous, and the phone bills are out of this world. We must stay alive in a healthy way in order to continue to bring you this relevant information. If you've been wondering why things happen, thank you for that call. Will you join that? There's two more callers joining. 212-209-2950. Let's keep it coming. If we get the tally up, I want to get it up a little bit more. I'm looking to see it so I can report to you the tally, which they show us from the pledge room is usually where we see it. And we tell you what we have in here. We have a little television set that shows the tally as it goes up. And then I get to know when I can go back to the tape. Really, I want to go back to the tape so that we can provide you with more of this information. Call 212-209. Thank you for these calls. Keep calling. Support WBAI. We are in need of your support. We are in need of your participation as listeners. And if you are appreciating what you're hearing here this morning, then call, and it's a vote for this kind of information. Can you vote for this information? Thank you. We've got about 12 lines lit up. Join these callers at 212-209-2950. There isn't anything bad about this package as far as I can see. It's just raw information about how we are controlled, and I want to know how we are controlled. 212-209-2950. Later on, you're going to hear Jim break down about how these groups function, how they survive, how they pass secret knowledge forward on, how they continue the legacy of domination and control, and do it behind the scenes. And why, he talks about why it doesn't matter who's president at this point, because everything's set up to run a certain way and seems to be working too, doesn't it? It works because it was a secret. Once a secret is out in the open, it can't work. It doesn't work like that. 212-209-2950. You all are doing a great job. Please call this station. Support the effort here. Support me in trying to bring you ideas that many people don't want to deal with. We brought you the Tim Wise articles as a premium, and we made over $6,000 with that, and mostly from new listeners. And so I say that there are new people out there who are listening to this station, and that's a good thing. And we've got to keep bringing them information, not shoving things down their throat, but opening up their minds and their hearts so that we can present an alternative view to what you're hearing on mass media. This is an alternative view. And I'm not asking you to make up your mind about it. I'm not asking you to take it in without checking out the facts. No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking you to get it into your hands, familiarize yourself with this other point of view about domination and control and what money means in this society, so that you can then share this with your children, so that the next generation has a chance at a life. But because the way it looks now, it's like the control of the money and the finances and the masses of poor and hungry people is growing. It's not decreasing, while a few use all our resources to support their ugly habits and their desires. And that is not the way I want to live anymore. 212-209-2950 is the number. 212-209-2950. We are taking pledges. We have volunteers in the room. They showed up here at 6 a.m. because they believe in the work that we're doing here. They believe in what I'm trying to do here. I make no secret about it. No bones about it. I'm here because I want us to think about things differently. Not the same old, whether it's right-wing or left-wing or progressive, the same old formulaic thinking is not going to do it for the next century, period. I just know that that's not going to happen. We've got to embrace many more people, and we've got to make things understandable to people. If they don't understand the dynamic, whether it's you or your children or their schoolmates or your neighbors, as long as people don't, you have to meet people where they're at. And if people don't understand this rule by secrecy stuff, they're going to be victimized by it. So let's help out here. Get this package, 2 1-hour tapes of the interview with Jim Mars and the book, over 400 pages of description of how these, what they are, what these secret societies are, and how they work, and their relationship to our international politics. 212-209-2950 is the number. 212-209-2950 is the number. We're waiting for your calls. I'm looking right now and I see one caller on the line. Can you join that caller? Can you take out your credit card and join that caller and get this package into your library, into your hands, into the hands of your children, into the hands of college and high school graduates in June? Give them a package. If you've gotten more than one helpful package from this station, make it a basket of things. But knowledge, you can't take that from someone. It's knowledge we're trying to give people. We're not shoving ideas down your throat. We want you to open up. I mean, I believe myself that the ideas are inside of us, and they just need to be brought out, and we need language with which to talk about it. So let's get this package. You've got the book. You've got 2 1-hour tapes that will be in it. You can get the book for $100. You can get the tapes for $100 and your membership. But I'm encouraging you to get the package right now because I think it's the best. 212-209-2950. I'm looking at the tally screen and hoping that they bring it up soon enough, because it's very encouraging to the host to be able to see what these dear listeners are doing. We encourage you. You're doing fantastic this morning. I'm just so pleased with what you're doing. The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. What is that number? 212-209-2950. Let's go. Let's get these calls in here. Let's get this information in your hands. And the other thing is, if you guys are involved in schools, I really encourage you to get these kinds of packages and expose young people to it. Because really, we're talking about understanding these issues so that our young people have a chance at a life. Isn't that what we want to see? 212-209-2950 is the number. Will you please make that call and start your day with us? I want to get back to the tape, so please, if we could just keep the board filled for a few more minutes, I'll be happy. Now, I want to thank a few people, just a few. We have two callers on the line, three callers on the line. We've got many lines open. Let's see if we can go one, two, three. Who's going to be our fourth caller and our fifth caller? Let's see it light up there. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950 is the number. I'm looking for my little bell to ring because we've got some things to ring the bell about. 212-209-2950. Thank you for these calls. 212-209-2950. Let's see the board light up. Here we go. We've got the premium, the main premium, the book. More than 400 pages of documented fact about secret societies and how metaphysics is used to trick us and dominate us and control us. The book is called Rule by Secrecy. Jim Mars is the author. We're going to give you that book, over 400 pages, heavily documented, along with 2 one-hour tapes. That's right, folks. 2 one-hour tapes. It is an educational package. It is an educational package. We're not shoving thoughts and ideas down your throats. I want you to have it to think about it. Think about it and look at the parts of your life where these things play a part. If you're working in a major corporation right now, understand where that power is coming from, okay? Understand that if you understand it, you're not a victim of it. You then can make better choices about where to work, what kind of work you want to do, how long you want to be there. 212-209-2950. The phones are doing beautifully. We've got about 13 callers on the line. You want this package. This is so inspiring to me. You want this package. You're calling to get this package, and I'm very grateful. More than that, you're calling to join this station. You're letting us know that what we do here, while it may not all be perfect, nothing is, we are the best game in town. Even on our bad day, we are better than what's down the dial. And that's because we're sharing alternative information that you're not going to hear anywhere else. It's what you hear here in WBAI is I keep calling it a body of work. It's a collective experience. And we need you to participate in this collective experience. When Jim Mars comes to New York, hopefully we might be able to have a little WBAI gathering. And many of you can come and hear him live. I would love to do that. So you can ask him your own questions. 212-209-2950. We're doing great in the tally room. We've got about, I would say, 15 to 20 calls going. And I hope there are volunteers in there. We could use more. Do you know where we're located, folks? At 120 Wall Street. We're on the 10th floor. Will you come down and help us answer the phones? We need all staff to go in and answer the phones. I saw Santiago in the office there. If he would go and answer the phones, and isn't Jim? But Mark is around somewhere. We need people to go in and help with the phones. Thank you, Anna, who came in to help, and Malika, who's in there, and Joanne, who's in there answering the phones. But they must have about 20 lines lit up. We need your help in there. 212-209-2950. Thank you, Andre, from the Bronx, Holland Avenue in the Bronx. Thank you very much. This is an additional gift. Very meaningful to us. Very meaningful to us. You're going to get the, let's see, you've got the package coming. And you talked to my sweetheart, Malika, when you did it. All right, another additional gift. Thank you, Michael, from Dumont Avenue in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's in the house. Good morning. Michael, you're getting the full package, and you're going to be so happy with it. Then we have Clement from the Bronx. Thank you so much. You're getting the full package. And a renewal from Albert in Brooklyn. Albert, it's on its way to you, the full package. The full package again to Mona on Conger Avenue in New York City. All right, Mona, it's on its way to you. Hi, Mona. I think I know Mona. All right. And Kenny from Spring Valley. Kenny, you're getting the full package. This is a renewal of your membership. I'm so grateful for you members who stay with us, who come back to us, and new members. Another renewal from John from the Bronx. Thank you, John. You're getting The tapes, I believe. Oh, you're getting the book and your membership. Great. And then we want to thank Ian from Glen Oaks. Ian, thank you for signing on here. You're a renewal and you're going to get the book, Rule by Secrecy, Jim Mars. Then we have Peter from Brooklyn. Peter, all right, you're getting the full package, the two tapes and the book, 2 one-hour tapes with an interview of Jim Mars by me. And then we have, let's see, thank you, Lester from Brooklyn. Lester's getting the tapes. And what a great thing, and your membership. So let's see, Lester, this is a renewal, and thank you for coming back. We also...